There's still time to register to vote in Ohio before this year's presidential election. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Do you know what kind of ID you need to vote, or when early voting begins, or the deadline to request an absentee ballot? Joining me now to answer your questions about voting in the November 5th general election are Hamilton County Board of Elections Director of Elections, Sherry Poland, and Deputy Director of Elections, Alex Linzer. Thanks for being here, Sherry and Alex.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, wonderful to be here.
We appreciate it. Sherry, explain Ohio's new-ish photo ID law. This law went into effect last year, but this might be the first time for a lot of people to vote since then.
Yes. So when a voter appears to vote in person, whether that's at our early vote center, during our early voting period, or at their polling place on election day, they need to present a photo ID. The acceptable forms of photo ID are an Ohio driver's license, an Ohio state identification card, a U.S. passport, or a military ID issued by the federal government. And those forms of ID cannot be expired. So we encourage people to take a look at their ID and make sure that it's not expired. And if it has expired, you need to update it, get it renewed before you appear to vote.
Is there any option if your photo ID has expired and you don't realize it till you get to the poll, if your address is in the poll book, will that help you be able to vote?
Sure. There is a provision for that under Ohio law. So if you appear to vote in person and realize you don't have an acceptable form of ID or it is expired, the poll workers will offer you what we call a provisional ballot. So it's the same ballot that every other voter receives. The voter would mark their ballot, but instead of scanning it into the scanner, they will place it in an envelope. And then on that envelope, they'll provide us just basic information, their name, their address, their date of birth, and their signature. So their ballot will not be counted election night, which is the unofficial count. But they have 4 days after Election Day, so they have up until Saturday after Election Day, to come to the Board of Elections and provide us with that ID. Then we can count their provisional ballot into the official count, which occurs about 2 to 3 weeks after Election Day.
Okay. We already have an email from Nicholas. Nicholas writes, "How are college students in Ohio supposed to vote? The list of ID required does not include college student ID." Alex, I'll let you take that one.
Yeah, well, first of all, they can get a free ID from the Ohio Bureau of Motor Vehicles if they are residents of Ohio, which they need to be in order to vote. But there is another option for people who struggle to get an ID, and we do see this with younger people or older people who have obstacles to getting a photo ID. You can vote by mail. And when someone votes by mail, we can use your social security number and your signature to verify your identity instead of a photo ID. So you do have that option if getting a photo ID is just not possible for you.
Okay. Alex, when is the deadline to register to vote, and what documents do you need to register?
Yeah, under Ohio law, you have to be a resident of the state of Ohio for 30 days prior to the election. So the deadline for this presidential election is October 7th. Board of Elections will be open until 9 p.m. to receive paper forms that night, and you can register online up until midnight on that day. If you're registering online, you need to provide both your Social Security number and your driver's license number. There's just a little extra security step if you're registering over the internet. If you're using a paper form, it's one or the other. So you can use either your Social Security number or your driver's license number.
Okay. Do you need proof of citizenship to register to vote? I know that's something the Secretary of State has proposed in Ohio.
Yeah, at this time, that's just a proposal. You just need to be able to provide one of those IDs. You do a test when you sign a registration form that you are a citizen of the United States, which is required for you to register.
We're talking about what you need to know to vote in the November 5th election. What are your questions? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Sherry, one of the other things that came out of the Secretary of State's office, boards of elections had a directive to remove non-citizens from voter rolls. How has that worked?
Yes, we did receive a directive. I believe it was on August 1st from the Secretary of State's office. It came with a list of registered voters where the Secretary of State had evidence that those folks were not, in fact, U.S. citizens. And so those voters were canceled and removed from the rolls. I do want to note that the Secretary of State's office sent notice to all of those voters. So there was a period of time that the voters had to respond to the notice attesting that they are in fact a U.S. citizen. If someone is unsure if they may have fallen into that category, you know, there's plenty of time to re-register to vote. So we encourage people to go onto our website, votehamiltoncountyohio.gov, or give us a call at the Board of Elections at 513-632-7000 and check your registration status. So you can just simply click the check my registration. You want to make sure that you're registered and that you're also registered at your current address. So if you've moved since the last time you voted, make sure that your registration status is up to date.
What if you have moved since the last time you voted? Is that complicated to get that sorted out?
No, it's very easy. It's very similar to the way that you would register for the first time. You can change your address online, as Alex mentioned, or on a paper form. The deadlines are the same, October 7th by 9 p.m. at the Board of Elections or up until midnight online.
Alex, you just mentioned voting by mail, which is something that folks can do. Explain how that works. What are the steps people need to take to vote by mail?
Yeah, in Ohio, you have to request a vote by mail ballot. So we do not mail ballots to everybody. We wait until you tell us you want one. Earlier this year, the Secretary of State mailed a request by mail ballot application to every registered voter in Hamilton County and the rest of the state. When you fill out one of those forms, you send it into the Board of Elections. It has some personal information on it. We need you to give us your birthday, your signature, a form of ID, and then we check that form against what's in our voter registration database to make sure that the person requesting the ballot is eligible to vote. If everything matches, then we send a ballot, and that comes with some instructions, and it comes with the most important piece, which is the ID envelope. So before the after you vote that ballot and you're ready to mail it back in, you have to fill out that ID envelope again with personal information so that we get your ID, your signature, your date of birth, and your address. And we're checking that against the system when the ballot comes back. And assuming it all matches, then we will open that ballot to be counted. But of course, we don't count any ballots until 7:30 p.m. on Election Day. We don't get a sneak peek of the preview of the results here in the Board of Elections.
Yeah. And do you have to have a reason to vote by mail? Do you have to have an excuse?
No, anybody can. And in fact, it's become very popular since the pandemic. We've already seen about 55,000 residents of Hamilton County request a ballot.
Wow. Okay. We have a caller on the line. Hi, Rich. Thanks so much for your call. What's your question or comment?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just noticed that in your discussion, it was mentioned that non-citizens were removed from the voter rolls in Hamilton County. And I was just curious as to actually how many were actually removed. If you could give me a number, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks so much, Rich.
Yes, I do not have the exact number, but it was less than 100.
Okay.
I believe, or somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Rich, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does, yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Okay, this might sound like a very basic question, but is voting by mail the same thing as requesting an absentee ballot? Are those different things?
They are the same thing.
Okay.
The phrase absentee voting is left over from the days when you needed to have an excuse in Ohio to vote. And that hasn't been the case for a long time, but the term is sort of stuck. So we like to say vote by mail because I think that's easier for people to understand.
How secure is it to vote by mail? There have been, questions about whether your ballot will really get there in the U.S. Postal Service. How secure is that for voters?
Yes, it's a very secure process. Alex and I and our team at the Board of Elections have been working very closely with the post office. We provide them with dates on when we believe obviously the first mailing will go out on October 8th. Again, we work very closely so they can have the proper staffing levels to know when we're going to be receiving, when they're going to be receiving a large amount of work from us and for voters. So they understand the important deadlines. They understand the importance of a postmark. I want to talk about that a little bit. So all vote by mail ballots that are received at the Board of Elections by 7:30 election night are counted in that election night count. But if ballots are received after election day, as long as they were postmarked by the day before election day and are received at the Board of Elections by the fourth day after election day, those can be counted and added to the official count. So we always recommend folks that might be returning their absentee ballots late, close to election day, go inside the post office, make sure it gets that postmark.
Mm. And what's the deadline for requesting an absentee or a vote by mail ballot, using both terms there just to cover my bases?
Sure. The deadline is 1 week before election day, 7 days before, I believe that's October 29th, this election cycle, by 8:30 p.m. So the Board of Elections has to receive that application by that date. That's the deadline to apply for the ballot. And then I just mentioned the deadlines to actually return your voted ballot to the board.
Okay. Well, we are going to continue our conversation after a short break. And later in the program, we'll hear about work to preserve one of Ohio's oldest Black cemeteries. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about what you need to know to vote in the November 5th election. My guests are Hamilton County Board of Elections Director of Elections Sherry Poland and Deputy Director of Elections Alex Linzer. What are your questions? Give us a call, 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Let's talk about the rules surrounding ballot drop boxes and who can drop off ballots for voters.
So, under Ohio law, an immediate family member can return a ballot on behalf of a voter. This year, there's going to be an extra step involved in that. And essentially, if you're bringing a ballot back on behalf of somebody else, you're going to have to fill out a form that attests that you are legally authorized to return that person's ballot. There's another new exception, and that was a result of a federal court case, and that's a person with disabilities who doesn't have a family member who could return that ballot on their behalf can now select somebody to return their ballot, and that person will also have to fill out that attestation form. So we're working on a way to make that process go as quickly as possible when people come to the Board of Elections to return ballots. And of course, if you're returning your own ballot, you can always use the drop box, which is 24/7, and you can drive right through in front of the Board of Elections.
Okay, so if you're dropping off your own, you can pop it in that drop box, but if you're dropping it off for somebody else, you need to go inside the Board of Elections to fill out this form and that sort of thing. Is that the idea?
Yeah, we're working on a way that's going to kind of have a drive-through lane. So
okay.
we'll have people, you know, we're still putting the finishing touches on that, but we're going to make it as fast and efficient as we possibly can.
Okay. We were talking about voting by mail before the break. If you don't put your absentee ballot or your mail-in ballot in the mail quite in time and you're a little panicky, can you put that in the drop box or take it to the Board of Elections to make sure it gets counted?
Your absentee application? Yes.
I'm sorry. I mean the actual vote. Like if you receive your ballot in the mail, but you don't put it back in the mail in time to get that time stamp on there like you need to, can you drop that guy off at the Board of Elections?
Yes. Okay. Your voted ballots.
Yes.
That's the process that Alex just described.
Okay.
So anyone can return someone's absentee application, that paper form that's a request for the vote by mail.
Okay.
By mail ballot. The process Alex just described is what's used when returning the voted ballot.
Okay.
If you don't get it in the mail.
Okay.
And we can receive those up until the polls close on election night. So if you miss the mailing deadline, you can come by on election day and drop it.
Okay. There's been a lot of talk in the news about election observers. Alex, what is an election observer and what can they do under state law?
Yeah, under state law, political parties or campaign committees or issue committees can appoint legal observers in polling locations. An observer can do exactly that. They can watch the process. They are prohibited from interacting with the voters and interfering in the process, but they can watch, they can take notes, and if they see things that aren't right, they can report that up through their organization, and those complaints usually make it back to the Board of Elections.
And how are they different from poll workers, Sherry?
Yes, poll workers are actually appointed by the Board of Elections to administer the election to the community that they're serving. So the poll workers are hired by the Board of Elections. They're sworn election officials, and they will be the folks who will check voters in, when, and check their ID, issue them their ballots, and do all the other responsibilities of a poll worker. So that's different from an observer. I do want to note that observers are credentialed. So those political parties and the other appointing authorities that Alex mentioned, they actually have to submit a notice to the Board of Elections that they are appointing those observers. And then those observers are given a certificate of appointment. So not just anyone can show up at a polling place and observe and go in to observe. They actually have to have that certificate of appointment to be allowed in the polling place.
Okay. That's good to know. Are you still looking for poll workers?
We are still looking for poll workers. You know, we have set our target pretty high for this election. Our goal is to recruit 2,800 poll workers for this election. We are attempting to have a pool of trained poll workers who will basically be on standby. So the vast majority will be assigned to a polling place on election day. And then our plan is to have some backup poll workers so that they can fill in, because we know life happens and someone who was planning on working may suddenly, you know, have to drop out. And so we want to have that pool of backup workers. Poll workers just got a raise in Hamilton County this year, thanks to both our Board of Elections and the Board of County Commissioners. They are now paid $225 for their service.
And Alex, is part of the reason you need so many poll workers because you're expecting a lot of turnout this election? What are you expecting in terms of turnout?
Yeah, Hamilton County has been pretty consistent with 70% turnout over the years in presidential elections, which is a lot. A busy election for us is 40-50%. So these presidential turnouts with 70, we're talking about 450,000 people casting their ballot. So we need a lot of poll workers, and we need them from both political parties. We have bipartisanship election administration in Ohio, which means all those polling locations, no one political party can have a majority of the poll workers. So, you know, we especially need folks who are willing to travel outside their neighborhood to make sure that every precinct has bipartisanship.
Yeah. What proportion of the vote, and I know you can't really predict for this election day, it hasn't happened yet, but do you have any expectations? You talked about mail-in voting has become more popular. There's still the early voting option. Do you have any feel for what the proportions might be in terms of how many people still like to vote in person on election day, and sort of how it divides up in those other forms of voting?
Yeah, you know, we're really interested to see where we land on that after this election. Prior to the pandemic, prior to 2020, it was pretty consistent as far as approximately 70% of voters in Hamilton County vote at their polling place on election day. The other 30% would vote early. Somewhere around 20-23% would vote by mail, and the remainder early in person. But 2020 flipped that, and for the first time ever, we had more voters cast their ballot prior to election day. Now, since the election since then, 21, 22, 23, it's gone back to the majority voting on election day. But early voting in person at the board has become extremely popular with the pandemic and with the move that the Board of Elections made back in 2017 to Norwood. You know, it's much more convenient than our prior location downtown. It's more geographically located in the center of the county. We have lots of free public parking and a pretty large facility in order to host those voters. So in 2020, we saw 80,000 voters come in person to the Board of Elections in that approximately 28-day period. And for this election, we're planning to see 80 and perhaps even 100,000 voters. And that's out of the 600,000 voters that are registered in Hamilton County. So,
wow. We have gotten a couple of emails. Well, actually, this was a call. Lee called in and she wanted to share with people who have family in the area who are temporarily overseas the importance of hurrying up and voting. She said her daughter has missed the deadline twice. What is the deadline? What should folks expect for that?
Yes, a great question and very timely because the voters who are voting overseas, they get a little extra time. Just because it takes a little extra time to get the mail back and forth from them. So their ballots are actually going to be mailed out this Friday.
Oh, wow.
And they can request them now. They fill out something called the Federal Postcard Application, and you can find that online. And our team will actually make sure that they get the ballot in advance because, you know, if you're shipping a ballot to Switzerland or Australia, it's just going to take a little bit of extra time.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. We got an email from Beth. Beth writes, my sister and I wanted to be poll workers, but the one shift offered was 5:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., and that's just way too long. Why can't it be divided into two shifts, which we could have easily done? Sherry, you look like you have some sympathy there.
We do. We do have sympathy. That's actually the number one reason people give for declining to work the polls. We know it's a long day. We do. Our team at the board arrives prior to 5:30 a.m. and they're there hours after the polls close. So we definitely know it's a long day. But the reason we can't do split shifts or that we've refrained from doing them so far is that would, for one, almost double the number of poll workers that we would need to recruit and train. And the training is such a big, important piece of this puzzle. We try to keep our class sizes very small because we want all the poll workers to have hands-on experience with the voting equipment. So it's really just we don't have the capacity to be able to recruit and train that number of people. But for this election, even though it's a long day, they're going to be busy, our poll workers. So I think the day will go very quickly.
So there was an interview on the radio last night that talked about, we've been talking about early voting and that one of the benefits to early voting benefits the parties because both the Democratic and Republican parties spend a whole lot of time on get out the vote efforts, targeting voters, saying vote, 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 vote. Is voting early, does that offer benefits to the parties or to the voters if they're sick of hearing from the parties? Alex, what do you think?
I mean, you know, we've definitely seen both parties push early voting, and I think that they have their reasons for that. I do think there's a benefit to the voter, too. If you're the type of person that doesn't like getting all that stuff in the mail and doesn't like having campaigns call you all the time, once you vote, there's a public record out there that you voted, and they'll stop calling you.
Yeah, and I guess to the volunteers who are working with the parties, you don't have to keep, you know, banging on those same doors and all that. They can move on to other voters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Talk about the system used in Ohio, Sherry, to make sure elections are fair. I mean, you have Republicans and Democrats. You mentioned this bipartisan system. I think Alex actually mentioned the bipartisan system all along the way. Explain how that works.
Absolutely. And I want to note, this is the same in all 88 counties in the state of Ohio. We're governed by a four-person board. Two are members of the Democratic Party. Two are members of the local Republican Party. You have the director and deputy director who are members of opposite political party. And that goes throughout our full-time staff and seasonal employees. So it really is a place where Democrats and Republicans come together, leave their politics aside, and because we have a common goal, and that's to run free and fair elections. So the security really starts with that bipartisanship, not to mention the fact that we're a paper-based system here in Hamilton County where voters mark their ballots, feed them through scanners that are certified at our vote tabulation system is certified at a national and state level. It's tested by those bipartisan teams prior to the election and then audited by hand counting a sample of the ballots cast post-election.
What are some of the other systems in place to ensure accuracy and security? Alex, I know a lot of people worry about the internet and kind of interference from bad actors.
Yeah, and that's a great point, is the voting machines are never connected to the internet. In Ohio, voting machines have to go through a multi-step certification process. They have to be certified by the federal government, and they have to be certified by the state government. And as part of the state certification, they have to get an independent test that proves that the machine lacks the capability to even connect to a network. So our voting machines aren't even capable of plugging in or getting a Wi-Fi signal. And, you know, that's important because it gives people the trust that the system, you know, the votes are being counted accurately and then nobody can interfere with those systems. But that is why it takes, some might say, a long time for us to report results on election night, because we have to physically return those machines back to the Board of Elections. And the way we do that is through chain of custody logs. So bipartisan teams are bringing that equipment back, and we have a record of every person who ever had custody of that machine before it gets to our building on election night.
A lot that goes into all this. I know you all are going to be real busy up to November 5th and well beyond, probably. I've been talking with Hamilton County Board of Elections Director of Elections Sherry Poland and Deputy Director of Elections Alex Linzer. Thank you both so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
It was a pleasure.
Up next, we'll hear about the work that's happening to preserve one of Ohio's oldest black cemeteries. This is Cincinnati Edition.